From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled Centering to Find the Soul. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
God said, that is my own, I will return to me. And God will know his own because they are full of light. And he knows his own because they love each other. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Those five things right there bring you to that point of atonement where you say, well, I think I'll just change then. We say, change to what? Because you may change and go right around a big circle and be back where you started and say, it didn't work. I thought it worked. It didn't go anywhere. We say, well, you were just rotating. You didn't change. Because everything went spinning by, you thought it was progression. No. Our progression is marked by us marking it, by us keeping a track of it. Remember the old diary, Dear Diary? Beautiful idea. And let us see where we were and were not matching up to the life of our own beingness. The truth will tell you, look, my beloved, you're in an error, you're in a mistake. Get that over with and get out of there. I know you liked it. I know it's what you prayed for. But you got it through double dealing. It's going to be taken away. And if you stay, they're going to take you with it. And you're all going to end up in jail. But in jail, there can be freedom. Because that's just an attitude of the mind. Until you can slip into the spirit of who you are and reside in that center, you're as much a prisoner as anyone in a jail. And I'll tell you something, too. And some of you know what I'm talking about here. The prison is far worse in your mind than it ever is in reality. Far worse. In fact, you can say, look, if that's the worst you can do to me, I've got it made. That's right, because not one soul is going to be lost. Now, if you don't happen to have a soul, I'm not referring to you. And if you want to know if you have a soul, don't ask me. Go in and find out. And I've been giving you the keys to that awakening for a long, long time. And I've shown you the tricks that can take place inside. How the negative forces can trick you, try to fool you, step right into your mouth and make you say things that you think are the gospel message because you never heard them before. And yet it's just nonsense. The false doctrine, the misleading. We say, but I said that and I'd never heard that before. And it must have come from God. No, you read that in a book 15 years ago. And you read the second part of a book 23 years ago. And you just out of your subconscious put it together and it sounded new to you. And if you want to find out if it's false doctrine, go ahead and work it and see what it does for you. And when it falls on your head, just know what it is. It's like, well, can I trust myself? I doubt it. I doubt very much if you can trust yourself. That's why you have to check everything out. That's why you check out everything you hear. Somebody says, Harry Jones is an alcoholic. You don't say, oh, yeah, Harry Jones is an alcoholic. You think, well, if I'm really concerned about Harry Jones being an alcoholic, I think I'll go down and see if he drinks a lot. I think I'll go down there and sit and see where he goes and follow him and see if he's a lush. And if you can put in that much time, God bless you. And if you can't, then who cares what he is? Do you think Harry Jones calls himself a lush? You know, we really are what we are. I think it was pretty neat when the God of Moses said, I am that I am. And I just see Moses sitting there going, ooh, yeah. What am I supposed to do with that? He says, I'm not supposed to go tell him the Lord I am that I am said for me to tell you guys to go do this, right? 40 years in the wilderness. Something had to convince them. And what was it that convinced them? The Spirit shining to him. The path of soul transcendence is not an intellectual path. If it were, I obviously couldn't do it. It's a path of ability. It's a path of being able to do that. It's a path of being so dumb that they couldn't trick you. When somebody says, you can't do that, you say, I didn't know that, I already did it. So, well, you can't do it again. Say, oh, yes, I can. We can all do it again once we know how. But that moment of looking into it is frustration at its zenith. Because it's, how do I do it again? I know I did it. And then you start doubting. Maybe I didn't do it. You better validate something inside of you. Or there's no way to hold you steady. When the wind blows, you'll blow with it. And when this happens, this will happen with you. And so we play the game of how to cheat the land and cheat the government and cheat the people in it. My God, let me tell you something. Taxes is an easy thing to pay for a land of freedom that we have. There are a lot of places people can't pay it. And they would love to pay it to be able to come to a place like this and hear us put down anybody we want to without too much chance of recrimination. I say too much chance because they've also got the same right to hit back. They have the same right. And if they're right, they're right. And if they're wrong, it'll just bounce right back in their face. And then the yoke's on them. All we have to do is, believe it or not, somehow, maniacally, stumble through this. Or paranoically. But getting to it, believe me, is of utmost importance. And if you can do it, like the lead ballerina of some great ballet company, go ahead and keep them on your toes. But if you can't, and you have to play second fiddle in the orchestra, play the best second fiddle. In other words, that you're going to do, just really do it. You'll get my support. And believe me, I can support people in some of the strangest ways. I'll tell you something interesting. Please don't try me out on this, because it does get desperate inside of me at times. But when things are going really well with you and you're up and life is beautiful, you don't need any of my help. Do you know that? Things are fine. We've got you going, give you a push, and it's just clear sailing for quite a while. Later on, there'll be a bump in the road. You know, you slow down. It's like, hey, I need another push. It's like, another push. But when you get down and it starts to get real rough at the bottom, and you say, oh, God, I sure would like to ask JR for some help, but I just don't want to lay this on him, and I don't know what to do, why don't you just ask? A lot of people found out, they said, you know, JR, you're really your greatest when I'm at my worst. Huh. I said, I don't really care for those comparisons. Because then when you're at your best, that means I've got to be at my worst, and I'm not buying that. I want to hold mine up there all the time as much as is possible. Why? Because it feels good. Isn't that practical enough for you intelligent people? Just because it feels good? Not because it's going to abuse and hurt anybody. No, never that. Why? Because when you get higher in consciousness, you'll find out that strange hurt that you have in you that you can't define is you hurting somebody else. Not only is it that somebody else, but it's that you in them that is hurting, and you're tuned to it. This is why mothers look at their children and they do something wrong and they just agonize. And believe it or not, they'll hit a child and later on feel so bad inside for having hit that child. And the kid's already forgotten it and gone, but you've hit that of you that's in there. It's a truth. It's an honest-to-God truth. And when a child is back at a mother or a father, they do it to, like, let me be free, but at the same time, they hurt so bad because they've hidden themselves in their parent. And then there's only one way you can do, and that's to rebel further and further until we're all casting our fate to the wind. And it's a whirlwind at best. At some point, we have to say, look, I don't know if I was the best child, or I don't know if I was the best parent, but for whatever on earth this is, let's do it today the best we can. And let's don't plan tomorrow, because we did that before, but let's live this moment, because today is preparation for our future. And if you can't control today, I don't know how you're going to control your future. And if you're trying to control your out-of-balance situation and you feel upset, you might ask yourself, why am I so upset? Because you're trying to live a life that's not your own. You're living a life of yelling, of upset, and you're trying to control that, and there's no way you can control it. You can't grab a hold of it. And the person comes in the room that you yelled at before, and you let them have it again. For what good reason? Because of your righteous indignation? No, because you're stupid. Obviously, it's got to be that. Or why would you keep throwing yourself out of balance? To make them stop doing what they're doing so you'll feel good? That's easy. They'll say, sure, have it your way. And when you turn your head, they go, "Moo." You lose, you lose, you lose. Who wants to win here anyway? But I know a lot of us that would like to get along at a higher rate, to be able to look at our kids and say, my kids are doing really well in school. They're going to be able to compete in this world. They're learning how to learn. They're teaching me how to learn. And what else is there here if we don't learn? If you didn't learn something today, what are you doing here? If you learned you didn't like something, you learned. If you learn that you're doing things that bother you, you're learning. What if you do the same thing over and over? Well, you haven't learned that yet. That's why you're going over and over. It's like, will I ever learn? It's like, don't ask questions that can't be answered. Is there a possibility of learning? 100%. What's the probabilities? Zero. What do I have to do? You can't do anything. How do I get out of it? There are processes. There are procedures. It's like being down in a well 20 feet and you try to get out. Can you yell yourself out? No. Can you climb out? No. Can you cry out? No. What if you get depressed? Does that get you out? No. Can you get out? No. What do? You realize you can't get out. Do you despair? No, that doesn't get you out. It's like, what'll I do then? It's hopeless. Yeah, as soon as you realize it's hopeless, as soon as you come to that moment of how frail and insignificant you are 20 feet down, then you start to conserve your energy. That's when you start to say, wait a minute, there's no need me yelling until I think somebody can hear me up there. So what I'll do, instead of yelling and yelling and yelling, I'll shut up and listen for them. What I'll do is I'll try to send out thought vibrations to them. I'll send out thought, here I am. Here I am, over here in the hole. 20 feet deep. 20 feet down. I hear you coming close. Over here. Then they come over and they say, are you down there? I say, who do you think got you over here? It's like, don't get smart. I can walk away. Don't walk away. How'd you get in the hole? Don't ask dumb questions. What do you want? To get out of the hole. Here's a rope. What am I supposed to do with the rope? Grab a hold of it. I'll pull you up. I can't. My hands aren't strong enough. Tie it around yourself. And I'll pull you up. No, it'll chafe my arms. Make a loop and put your foot in it, and I'll pull you up. What if I get halfway up and fall out? We'll do it again. But what if I break my leg? We'll put the other leg in there. But what if I break my back? I'll go get help. Go get help first. Don't you think I can help you out of the hole? No. Go get help. All right, help's 150 miles away on foot. Don't leave me. It really gets difficult, doesn't it? Helping somebody. Okay, I'll tie it up here and I'll come down and help you. Don't you come down here with me. I don't know what you want. I don't know if I can trust you. Believe me, after you've been down there as long as you've been down there, I wouldn't want anything from you. You're just saying that. Yeah, because I don't want to smell it. I don't want to be involved in it. That's why I'm telling you. Can you believe me? I don't know who you are. Why should I believe you? You sleep in the hole tonight. And I'll sleep up here. And when the light comes up, and you can see what's going on, then we'll talk about it. And the light has already gone down and it's starting to come up. Now you got to be prepared. It's like, how much do you want to get out of the hole? How much are you really willing to give? Are you willing to give up a little bit of comfort? Are you afraid they're going to hurt your skin or damage your beauty? Are you afraid they're going to take something from you to get you out of the hole you got yourself into? Like, well, this doesn't look like much of a hole. You fell in a pretty big hole. And just because there's others in there with you does not mean it's right. The masses never have made anything right. There's no way you can refute that. Otherwise, we'd all be eating what the flies eat. It's not right. There are differences. We recognize the difference, but we do not alienate ourselves in the difference. We recognize the difference, and we use that as part of our upflow of energy. I can't run as fast as you, but I can swim faster. I'm not as good at mathematics, but I'm better in literature. I'm not good at singing, but I'm a great actor. I can act, I'll write. And those things are all fine. Those are all legitimate things inside of you. They are moral. They are character building. They are the process of integrity. They are the very being where you live upon this planet. But you don't call yourself a writer or an actor. You can identify yourself as that performer or as that occupation. But even in that moment of releasing ourselves and saying, oh, I'm an actor. It's like, well, I don't know what kind you are. You certainly aren't a very good one. It's like, well, I don't act all the time. You know, they're on stage immediately, right? In this life, we're all on stage. I think something by the name of Shakespeare said, you know, every man struts his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. They say it's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's the truth. We rant, we rave, we push, we pull, we beat each other for an inch gain. Our territorial status, our imperative of occupational livelihood. And we're not going to let them have it back no matter what. And we die in it. But we give it off in inheritance to our people. And once again, we separate the races, we separate the people, we separate the governments. My God, we even separate us in ourselves because maybe we're Portuguese and maybe we're Spanish and maybe we're German and maybe we're a little Jewish. Now where do we owe allegiance? Obviously, it's got to be in heaven. Nobody else would want you. The hope for the planet is the hope of each one of us present. You think about it, just in the wildest bit of imagination, you know, Jesus came on the planet and supposedly picked up 12 good men. He had more than that. He had a couple good women, too. And there have been more holy wars declared because of those 12 or 13 people than you could ever hope to imagine. But believe me, they did change the face of the planet. If we get 12 or 13, if we get three true light bearers, we'll lift the planet into the new age. Not somebody who just talks the story. Not someone who's got the vocabulary tripped down and says, oh, I love you, I'm so spiritual. That's modeling. Someone who may tell you, look, shut your mouth, you're getting yourself in trouble, may be the more spiritual of all of you because they can tell you what you're doing wrong. And then when they don't answer you, they say, and I'm following my own advice. I'm keeping my mouth shut to keep me out of trouble. How can we do good till we know God? How can we know what good is? It's so relative. It's so inconsiderate of our points of view. It's never respected us as a nation, as a race, as a religion, as a creed, as anything. It has only respected itself and it hides itself from our view. So we say, but if I only knew what was right, if I only knew the right thing to do, I would do it. You would not. You've known thousands of times the right thing to do, and you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't give somebody the satisfaction of knowing you were wrong. You knew the best thing to say is, look, I think I made a mistake there. It was my fault. What can they do? Kill you? No, but if you lie to them, you die inside from then on, waiting for them to uncover it. And it would have been better if they had have killed you. You only die once that way. The strong die once, the cowards die many, many times. And yet at the same time, we have to die daily. We have to give up today, die to it, and resurrect tomorrow and start a brand new day. And when you get up in the morning, it really is, this is the day that God has created. And we're part of the creation to participate in it. Not to demand of it, not to desire it, not to lust it, not to corrupt it, to live in it, and to have joy and abundance according to our ability to handle it. Some people can't handle success. The overnight rich was also the overnight poor again, because they had not sustained their ability. They had not showed they can maintain, that they can be trusted in their wealth. So we do truly test each other. We test things that come to us. We read scripts for validity, for internal consistency. We look at cars to see that they're functioning completely. We listen to people's story to see how it holds together. We listen to detect the lie. And yet, how would you know the truth? That's the most valuable. Listen to detect the truth. Because the truth will free you. The lie will mislead you and corrupt you, because then you cast doubt upon them. And they may have only had misinformation that was given to them. And they're doing their duty. They're passing it on without checking it out. Don't be guilty of that. You can say, well, look, I heard this and somebody said this, but I haven't experienced that yet. I don't know. I'm working at it. I don't know if mine will be the same way. I am doing this process that we call spiritual exercises, meditation. I am working at it in the idea that I'll be able to get freer inside of me and be of greater value to myself and to other people. that I can be free from my agonies, my guilt, my inabilities to control my life, my destiny, not my future. Here it is. But if somebody comes up to me and tempts me, I can say, no, thank you, not today. Not do I have to indulge today because they presented it. We don't have to. Some people think, oh, I better eat that piece of cake. It's the last one on the plate. They got 400 plates back. They're loaded with cakes for you. There's always going to be cakes for you. There's always a supply for the demand, according to your ability to handle it. That's the phrase they left out when they translated it. Man is to have joy, have it more abundantly, but how does he know what that is? He's got to know some of the agony. He's got to know some of the restrictions. He has to know the bondage of his own beingness. So when the freedom comes, he'll say, that's what I know it to be. Otherwise, we say, I don't know, it sounds good, it feels good, but I don't know. Everything goes fine with me anyway. Then you go outside and you get hit in a car. You say, what happened? Say, you weren't paying attention. So while I called on the light, we say, before the wreck or after? Say, after. I didn't need it before. You always need it until you come to the realization that you're it. Not as an ego trip, God, no. Not as a vainglorious trip, no. But as the whole process that you can't not lie any longer. And when they ask you, you tell them the truth. If they don't like it, that's the way it goes. For everyone that's told the truth on this planet has been assassinated and martyred. Because the masses always seem to know more. And yet they stood forward and said, for such as it is, this is it. We have to come to that in ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and say, this is it. There may be more here, I don't know that, but this is what I'm going to work with right now. This is what has been created. Here I am. I'm not going to declare a world of events or how I'm going to do the 20 years. Just right now. Berush Beishem.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beishem, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.